Guess it's time to get started. Good morning to everybody.
Good morning.
In order of announcements, on our prayer list, we've got Naomi Simmons for her back, lungs, and heart. Remember Ken and Sandy White in your prayers. Sue Clark, recovery and therapy at the care home. She's back home now. Talked to Georgia, and she's doing fairly well. Let's remember Melissa Porter, suffering from her injured foot. Our shut-ins, Rose Beatty, Catherine Wright, Evelyn Belt, Judy Mayberry, Jack and Millie King are homebound. As far as birthdays, up and coming birthday, actually today, I think, Marissa Miller having a birthday today. And we welcome Kurt Hale. Glad to have you today. He'll be giving us our lesson. Everybody remember, we've got a potluck after our service. And remember Stacy in your prayers. She's not feeling well and couldn't make it this morning. And that's all I have for announcements. Does anybody else have anything that I failed to mention? Okay, let's continue.
Good morning, everyone. Please open your hymnals if you choose to do so to song 362, Joyful. Joyful, We Adore Thee is the song title. It's also displayed here on our PowerPoint if you haven't looked up. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. This is our first song selection this morning.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays, stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving,
The song that we'll sing before our opening prayer this morning, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. This is song 730 for anyone that's following along in our hymnals. What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Song 730 after this song will be led in prayer.
What a friend we have in Jesus. Sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Once again on this first day of the week to come together to recognize you as our God and Jesus our Savior and your word as our route to heaven. We're thankful, Father, we always have this privilege. We're mindful of those of our number that are not able to be here. Sister Stacy is having an extreme problem today. We bless and comfort her as well as all other shut-ins that we have in our number. We pray, Father, that you be with us today and help us to be faithful until the end of life's way. We pray, Father, you help our government to guide in such a way that we'll always have the freedom we always enjoy and never take it away from us. Be mindful of the many suffering in our country today from different disasters. We pray you bless their families and their loss. We're glad to have a special speaker today and tell his family. We pray, Father, it's good to have them after many years since they've been here. He's going to speak to us today. Looking forward to hearing his word and bless him as he brings to us the bread of life. We pray you bless and help us all to be strong and recognize, Father, you expect us to put you first. And to be here on Lord's Day for Bible study, worship service, back tonight at 5, and then again on Wednesday evening at 6. Mm-hmm. To put the Lord first because that's what he expects. Be with us, help us, bless us all, forgive our sin, and bless everybody that travel in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Before we commune together, we will sing the song, Why Did My Savior Come to Earth? This is song 784 in our hymnals. Why did my Savior come to earth, song 784. We'll sing this song and then share together the Lord's Supper.
This table this morning because one of the commandments given to us in the scriptures is that we are to partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. That's one of our main reasons being here is to take of the Lord's Supper. He wants us to remember his death, burial, and resurrection. And at this time, I'd like for us to think back upon that time that when he was on the cross, he was beaten before he got there. He was scourged before he got there. He was hung there with big spike nails. And he suffered all for you and me. He suffered quite a while. And as he did so, he was probably thinking of all of the people that he is going to save by doing so. At this time, let's pray for the bread. Our Father in heaven, we come to you now as your servants. We pray that you take this bread and everyone take it pleasing in your sight. We know, Father, that this bread represents that body that hung on that tree so long ago. We're just so happy that you have given us these emblems to remind us of the great sacrifice that you have given for us. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Let us pray. Our Father, we are so thankful for the sacrifice of your Son on the cross, on that terrible cross. Father, the blood that was shed, we are so thankful that your Son gave his life for our sins. Father, as we drink from this cup of the fruit of the vine, we pray that we will take it in a manner that's pleasing and honorable in your sight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
That concludes the Lord's Supper, but as we're conveniently gathered here, we also have a commandment about laying by in store. So as that is said, we will go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we ask you to bless each and every one of us. We pray, Father, that everyone will give freely and generously and for the further work here at Harrisburg. We know, Father, that all our abilities come from you, and that we continue to ask you to guide us as we continue to strive to do your will. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Our next song selection this morning, I Am Thine, O Lord. This is song 261 for anyone following in our hymnals. I Am Thine, O Lord, song 261.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord. By the power of grace divine, let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious leading side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross a narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious leading sign.
If you would, at this time, mark our song of encouragement. That song that we'll sing after our lesson this morning is number 23. That title is All Things Are Ready. Song number 23, All Things Are Ready. That's an encouragement hymn that we'll sing later this morning. Once you have that marked, the song that we will sing prior to our scripture reading and our lesson is number 589, Sowing the Seed of the Kingdom. Song 589, Sowing the Seed of the Kingdom.
Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the morning bright and fair? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the heat of the noonday flare? For the harvest time is coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done. Will your sheaves be many? Will you garner any for the gathering at the harvest hall? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the still and solemn night? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, for a harvest pure and white? For the harvest time is coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done. Will your sheaves be many? Will you garner any for the gathering at the harvest hall? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, all along the fertile way? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, you must reap at the last great day? For the harvest time is coming on, be none. Will your sheaves be many? Will you garner any for the gathering at the harvest home?
Today's scripture reading be Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one and another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody here today. First off, I want to spend the first couple of minutes asking for your apologies, but also lavishing praise upon this congregation. Forgive me if I've forgotten names over the years, if I see faces. Sometimes the names always don't come back to me, so thank you for your grace and understanding on that. Second of all, I want to lavish my praise on this congregation. It is awesome to see how well you guys are doing, that you're still faithful, that you're still with us, and that you're still meeting here at the appointed time and place to come and lend your voices to the worship service and to worship God in spirit and truth. Amen. It's very encouraging for me to be able to be here and be present with you today, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you this morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Kurt Hale. My family's back there in that second to last row. My wife Sarah, my kids Brianna, Alex, and Graham. We live in Carmi. We have been members at the Mount Carmel Church of Christ for about the last 4.5 years. And I'm also in a speaking rotation up there, actually, with four other men. And the church up there is doing wonderful, doing a lot of wonderful things up there, just like the church universally is always doing great things and spreading the good news of the gospel. Now, this morning, when you look at that text in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, it was great to hear James Miller's in Hebrews this morning in the Bible class this morning. But when you hear that particular scripture quoted, it's most of the time you're like, oh, great, it's another sermon about why we need to come to church. And it's true. We do need to come to church. We don't need to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as was the habit of some of the Hebrew Christians. But like a little child, I'll use this analogy from Bible class, because the Hebrews were acting like little children. They needed milk and not solid food. What's the one question that children always like to ask? Why? Exactly. Why? So when God gives a command and says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, a little Christian or a new Christian would be like, why? Well, because God said so, right? Because when we're children and our parents tell us to do something, we ask why. And it's like, well, because I said so. And that's fine for an elementary starting, for a child starting out, is because God said so. That's why we should do it. But for those of us that are mature and we're mature in Christ, we need to understand and go deeper into the why it's important for us to assemble together on the first day of the week. And all of the things that happen while we're here, because we have faith and we see with spiritual eyes that there is so much more going on than just singing and the praying and the looking at the Word and the taking of the Lord's Supper. Because there are so many more deeper things that go on than that. And the first thing I want to present for your consideration this morning as to why it's important for us to always, on the first day of the week, to get together and to assemble, is because, pardon the phrase, and I know there weren't churches back when Jesus was on this earth, but I would present for your consideration that Jesus was a church-going man. And we know that from Luke chapter 4, verse 16, I believe. Luke chapter 4, verse 16, it says this. It says, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And we see that phrase there when it says it was his custom. It wasn't just something that he would do once a month or once every couple of months, you know. It was an every week thing that when it came time for the synagogue service to start, he was there. And so it's very important for us to look at the example that Jesus set, that even though the church hadn't been established yet, there were still people that were gathering together in the synagogues to worship God, and he was there every time. And it's important for us to look at that. Another thing I want us to understand about the church is that, and I know we know this, it's a very elementary principle, but that Jesus is the one that is building his church. He built it upon the confession that Peter gave in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Does everybody remember what that confession is? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, some translations say. Amen? Amen. So the church was, which the world has kind of contorted what the view of, I'm going to put this term in quotation marks when I use it this way, the church is. It's just some kind of gathering, a sociological club, if you will, or just something where we get together and we get to hear charismatic speakers or something like that. No, the church is a divine institution. It should never be viewed as anything other than that either. It is something that was so precious to God that he sacrificed his only son, and Jesus was willing to do it so that he could set apart for himself a people, a group of people in the church. So just don't tell me that the church is just some kind of a club, if you will. It is precious in the sight of God. It was worth giving up his only son so that he might purify us. That's how important the church is. That's how important it is for us to come together in this assembly on the first day of the week at the appointed time to take the Lord's Supper and to remember what it cost God and what it cost Jesus so that we might have the hope of eternal life. Amen. And it's so such a glorious thing. Like I say, with the church, there's so many words that are used to describe the church. You've heard the Greek word, I'm sure, ecclesia, right? Do you know what that means? Called out. Yeah, David says it, called out. That's what we are. We are the called out. It's the called out assembly of believers in Jesus Christ. It's the way that God gathers together his chosen people in the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Jesus is its head. We are the bridegroom. Excuse me, no, we are the bride and Jesus is the bridegroom. It's distinct from the nation of Israel, yet it has its roots in Israel in the Old Testament. We, listen to this part carefully, we are like a building. We're not the building, but we are like a building in the sense that Jesus and God are building up a holy temple. The church is a collection of priests. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people for God's own possession. Right? Why? So we might proclaim the excellencies of his grace and who has called us out of darkness and into marvelous light. What sacrifices do we present up to God? Well, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says, present yourselves as living sacrifices. Does he not? The service that we offer up to God comes up as a sweet aroma to God, just like in the Old Testament when they would burn the incense. That's what our living sacrifices, our works of service, that's how we are a royal priesthood. We are a collection of brothers and sisters in Christ, and Jesus is our brother. I believe that's one of the songs we sang this morning, that Jesus Christ is our brother. How often do we ever think about that, you know? We don't ever, obviously we get scared because we don't want to put ourselves on anywhere near equal footing with Jesus because we're not, right? But in the sense that we are children, he's our brother in the family of God. We are a collection of co-workers for the advancement of God's kingdom. And it's in this community of people here that's gathered here locally, right here at this body of believers in Harrisburg, and also the church universally, that we give our works of service to those people that we come into contact with. And I know when we talk about this group of people here and globally and all over in the church universal, when we talk about it being God's family, right? You think about your own little close-knit family unit in an earthly sense, right? Sometimes, well, I do anyway. Sometimes I have family members that just, sometimes they embarrass me, right? You know, and there's sometimes there's some family members that we, maybe we don't get along with sometimes even. Let's take it to a more serious level. God's family is no different. However, the thing that we have to keep in mind is that God is the head and over everything in the church. We're all under his lordship. So here's the thing, is that God knows all of the strengths and the weaknesses of the church. And I think it's normal for us because we do, because we, as individual members of the body and the leadership here, we all sometimes fret and worry and get concerned over the church. Because it is difficult right now out there in a world that just seems like it's up against this anti-God culture. It's easy for us sometimes to worry, and we and maybe we do kind of look at the numbers, the you know, maybe the attendance is down. It's easy to get caught up in those things, but we have to have faith that God knows his church better than we know it. He knows exactly what the church needs at all times. He even knows when the church is at its weakest point, and we may not even see it, but even in the churches, locally and universally, at its weakest point, God still lavishes out his love and his blessings upon the church. Why? Because in Matthew 16:18, it also says, "And the gates of hell," or Hades, as some translations say, "will not prevail against it." We have to have faith that no matter what we see with our human eyes, when we see a world that's increasingly anti-God, and maybe we see a church that's losing some membership, and because people may be falling away, we have faith that God knows exactly what he's doing. And God is not going to let anything happen to his church. It's not like it's going to disappear from the face of the earth. It's too precious to him. Like I said, it cost him his only son. So we need to have faith, and we need to keep coming together faithfully as his children to assemble on the first day of the week. I want you to notice something in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, I know that's also a text we're probably all familiar with. I'm in some pretty basic texts if you've been a Christian for a while. Acts chapter 2, at the end of the chapter, I believe it's starting in verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Says, "They were continually," talking about the new Christians, by the way, "they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer." Evangelism is important. But the one thing I want you to notice is that the early Christians were very focused upon their own personal growth. That's what they did together. Fellowship, devoting themselves to the teaching. Sometimes we, I'm just looking up here at this attendance board, sometimes we get too focused on those numbers, and we need to realize, though, that God is more worried about where we are in our spiritual growth. Because if we encourage and we lift up the current membership here, the rest of it's going to take care of itself. I'm jumping ahead a little bit here, but one of the reasons we need to understand why we come together too is because we need to be strengthened. We need to be encouraged, because the message from the pulpit, I don't know everybody's situation here in relation with reference to their relationship to God, okay? But listen to me very carefully on this next point. The message from the pulpit should not be solely evangelistic in nature. Yes, we want to preach Jesus Christ crucified from the pulpit. We do. But tell me what's going to be more effective. Preaching evangelism to maybe just a select few people in here that may not be saved, or encourage the entire body of Christ in their relationship with God to be mature Christians, to set them on fire so that they can go out those doors and then evangelize everybody else out there. Tell me which ones. And even I would present for your consideration, and James brought it up this morning in class too. You stepped on my sermon just a little bit there. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, where it talks about he gave some as apostles, some as pastors, some as preachers and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of service. That's why you come together here too. You come together to be built up, to be edified, not to be put down. There's a place for challenging from the pulpit. Don't get me wrong. All right, we're going to get to that in a second. There's a place for challenging from the pulpit, but mostly to encourage people. Because there's not a sinless man sitting up here preaching to you this morning or any other Sunday. We're all in the same boat. We're all trying to make it through this life, keep our eyes and our focus on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. That is what we are all trying to do, and we need to be encouraged in that. So when you walk out this door this morning after this, that's the goal. And I will just say that I am so thrilled that you have found a full-time minister here. Name's Doug, right? Doug Berry? Yes. Okay. I watched him a week ago just when I was sitting at home on a Sunday afternoon. I'm so thrilled that you have found someone to come here and to encourage you and to work with you and to help you grow in your relationship with God. I got off track there just for a second, but you're going to find out if I get to speak long enough. I get excited up here. I don't apologize for it. But we do there. We come together here as a community. We come here together as brothers and sisters in Christ, and we come here so that brick by brick and layer by layer, we can be encouraged and be built up into mature Christians. And you take your own life, you take your story of how you came to know Jesus Christ, your story of who taught you or how you become to be a Christian, when you decided that, yes, I want to be a Christian, and I'm gonna put on Christ in baptism, and then make the decision to express your faith in baptism, because He is faithful to save us. You take that story, and you take it to the world, and you tell everybody exactly how God has blessed you tremendously in your life, and how you came into a relationship with Him. We all, most of the time, and James brought this up too, you brought up a lot of good points this morning, James, is that to be a Christian, we think we have to know everything before we go out and we try to evangelize people that are in our own little circle of influence, I call it. People that you're close to in your life. You don't have to know everything. Just tell them your story. Even if it was just that you were born and raised in the church and that you just got to see it on display all the time. The love that the Christians have for each other here in this assembly or wherever you were born and raised in the church at. That's the story that we tell. The other thing that we need to, I believe, as a body of Christ and this coming together as a family is to create an environment where it is a safe space. And I know that word safe space sometimes kind of has a negative connotation in today's world because it's been hijacked for political purpose to say there's no judgment here. You know, that's not what we mean by a safe space. What we mean by a safe space is the first century Christians were always encouraged to bear one another's burdens and to confess their sins to one another. James 5:16 says that. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Why? So that you may be healed. We need to make this a place where people can come in here and to confess their sins to each other, because it's not like we have some sin scanner back there at the door, right? And boy, it's a good thing that we don't, right? Because I don't know what the attendance would be like on that particular Sunday. And I know I'm being over the top when I say that, but here's the thing. I know that I have walked into a worship service on a given Sunday and was just really thinking about something that I did over the past week that was either really, really awkward, it was weird, or it was just like, I can't believe I did that. I feel so guilty, and I feel very ashamed of what I did. Jesus didn't die for sinless people. You know, he didn't. He died to take care of all of that, and we don't have to feel guilty when we walk into a church assembly. We come in here and we just give it all to God, and if it's something we really feel like that we need to confess to somebody, it can even be in private, we can do that. That's what I mean by a safe place. No judgment-free zone here. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't talk to me about my sin, my habitual sin problem, if I had one, you know. It's not like we can't talk about each other's sin or challenge each other to be better in our relationship with God, because I will present this also for your consideration, is that if we just accept everybody no matter how they are, they be them, we'll be us, and we won't talk to you at all about your sin or whatever you've got going on in your life, that is not love either. Love challenges and love corrects when it sees a problem. So that's what I mean by there is a safe space that needs to be a sense of a safe space that's built in here, but also a safe space in the sense that we can challenge one another and stir each other up, as the Hebrew writer says, to good works, right? I remember very vividly, this has been several years ago, I won't get into details, I will just say that I was not very responsible with my social media whenever I was a younger man. And I had one of my former preacher point that out to me. And I will never, ever, ever be able to thank him enough. Because, I mean, he saw something, he brought it to my attention, and I guess to God's credit working in me, because it's nothing that I did, the attitude was, he's right, I'm wrong, change the behavior. That's what I mean by challenging people. And, you know, the hope and the prayer is that they respond the way that God would want them to respond. And I'm going to wrap up early that we have potluck today, right? No. But I want to wrap up by telling you this too. Is because of COVID, unfortunately, 5 years ago now, I mean, has it been that long ago? Boy, I thought it was going to be an eternity before we could get back to normal, you know. But here's the thing that happened out of COVID. Church attendance took a huge nosedive during COVID. Why? Because technology. And by the way, technology is my job. I do IT for the city of Carmel. I take care of computers. So I'm a tech guy. But technology is not meant to replace face-to-face interaction. As you still sell insurance, don't you, David? Yeah, there you go. I mean, face-to-face, that's where it happens. And any of you else, everybody else out there that has a job, I love face-to-face communication. I don't like talking on the phone. I text my wife. That's about the extent of my texting, really. But man, I love a phone conversation. But more, I love face-to-face, especially when there's conflict. Because there's a lot of things that get lost in translation when you start talking about trying to do things through a phone. I say that to say this, because church attendance has actually dropped to where a faithful Christian. This is according to a survey. Done 2 years ago. Most people nowadays consider a faithful churchgoer to be that you attend services three times a month. That's it. Three times a month. Now, I'm not denying that you can't go on the internet and find hundreds of preachers that are way better than I'll ever be. That's not the point. But there's something that happens when you come face to face and you interact with the speaker, you see the emotions and everything. It's different. It's something you can't get through a screen. And it's the reason why, like I say, I keep hearing this poem, coming together face to face, because there's something inherently powerful that happens with the transmission of information when it's being preached from God's word and goes out to the hearer. Much more powerful. And the last point I want to make is talking about fellowship. Didn't make a good transition on this last point, and I apologize for that. But there's a Greek word, it's called, in the Koine Greek, it's called koinonia, and it means fellowship. It means fellowship, and we have fellowship in a lot of things. We have fellowship with one another in the sharing of hearing the word together. Fellowship in praying together. Here's a big one that I wanted to close with this morning, is that we have fellowship in suffering. We have fellowship in suffering like Jesus suffered. Paul even says that too in the book of Philippians. Paul says in Philippians 3 verse 10, he says, that I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. We share in all of that as well. We don't just share in the partaking of the Lord's Supper, which is very, very important. That's the primary reason why we come together on the first day of the week. We share in suffering. It would be great if we just come up out of the water and went straight to heaven. Amen. that'd be great, wouldn't it? But it doesn't happen that way. Why? Because just like Christ had to learn obedience through the things that he suffered, how are we going to be like Christ? How are we going to be more like Christ if we share in his sufferings? We are not promised anything. We are not promised no suffering. We're not promised no pain. But what we are promised is a God and a Savior who is faithful to us in our trials and in our suffering. And a lot of it has to do with how we perceive trials and suffering. I believe a Christian would look at the pain and the trials, yes, as temporary, but also something that can teach us something. I don't know everybody's story in here. I don't know what you've been through in your life. But here's the one thing I know is you're not alone. You're like me. You've been through some tough things in your life. And yet you're still here. And you're faithful, which means ultimately you know that God is faithful to you and you're going to be faithful to God. Come, you know, no matter what happens. And that is the one thing, like I say, whenever I look out there and I see this group of believers that are still gathering here in Harrisburg, that's the one thing I commend you for is your faithfulness. Because I don't think it's a stretch to say, God is so proud of you. If God's a father, and we're like, you know, fathers to our children and mothers to our children, we're proud of our children, right? God's no different. He looks down upon you and smiles. Because he goes, there's a faithful servant, right? There's a faithful servant. And you may not think of yourself like that in that light, but let me tell you something. In God's word, I can tell you that I see is that he knows that you're faithful. Because when he looks at you, this goes back to the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 26, I think it is. If I got that just a little bit wrong, give me some grace. He says, as many of you who have been baptized into Christ has been clothed with Christ. That's why when God looks at you, he doesn't, you know, he knows you're not a sinless individual. But what he does know is, he goes, there's somebody that loves my son. There's somebody that has a relationship with my son. There's somebody that I'm proud of. There's somebody right there that has been through some very terrible things. And yet, there they still are, being faithful to me and what I have asked them to do. And what he asks us to do as we depart this place this morning is to take the word that's been spoken today and go out and share it with the world. We go out and we preach the gospel. Tell people your story. I referred to it earlier. It may not be a fancy story. I don't really have a fancy story. I have to be honest with you. My story mostly revolves around what happened to me after I married my wife. And this is no exaggeration. Because her dad was a preacher. And I never saw, like James said too, you were talking about Bob Coburn, encouraging you guys to just get up here and take a step out of your comfort zone. Never in a million years would I ever think that I would be having the precious opportunity to be able here to speak the good news to you. But all that changed after I married my wife, and my father-in-law encouraged me, built me up, edified me, and like I say, it was all by God's hand, working through him. And we give all credit to God for every good thing that happens in our lives. So this morning, as we leave here, like I say, I want to encourage you, spread the good news. That's what we're here to do. We're his ambassadors. That great commission that was given to the apostles was given to us as well. And if you're here this morning and you don't know what to do to become a Christian, if you don't know what it takes to be in a relationship with God, what you need to do, ask one of us. Reach out to us. We'd be more than happy to sit down and to teach you God's great plan of salvation. So I'll close the lesson this morning. Again, I thank you for your time and the opportunity to be here this morning. If there's anyone that has a need, if you need the prayers of the church, if there is something that you're struggling with, if there is something that you need help in seeing how faithful God is and that he's not left you, he's never going to leave you, he's never going to forsake you, but we all have weak moments, and that's why we have the church, that's why we have this community of believers, to encourage one another and stir one another up to good works. So whatever your need might be this morning, I would ask you to come as we stand and sing the song that James has prepared for us.
All things are ready, come to the feast, come for the table now is spread. Refreshing ye weary, come, and thou shalt be richly fed. Here's the invitation, come whosoever will. Praise God, full salvation, for whosoever will. All things are ready, come to the feast. Come, for the door is open wide. A place of honor is reserved for you at the Master's side. Here is the invitation. Come, whosoever will. Praise God for full salvation. For come while he waits to welcome thee. Delay not while this day is thine, tomorrow may never be. Here is the invitation, come whosoever will. Praise God for full salvation, for
in a moment, our brother Mike Porter will dismiss us with a prayer. We want to keep in mind all those that are on our prayer list, those were mentioned by name earlier from our announcements. As most of you know, Doug is in Arkansas. He has been attending the polishing the pulpit there since Wednesday of last week. And we pray that he's safe in his travels and look forward to him being back with us. We were blessed in his absence by a great delivery of God's word. Thank you for doing that for us, Brother Hale. For all of us, we encourage everyone to reconvene after our dismissal this morning with the fellowship meal down in the basement in the fellowship hall. And we'll spend some time together and enjoy one another, enjoy a good meal, and just get to share time with God's people. That's going to be a blessing to us. For our men, we'll have a meeting after that meal is over with, and I encourage all to stay and be involved in that process. And then coming back for our evening worship tonight at 5, encourage everybody to be back every time you have a chance. Is there anything that we need to make known specifically before we go to God in prayer?
Let's go to the Lord. Most righteous and heavenly Father, you give us so much to be thankful for. Thank you for bringing us together today so we can worship your Lord. Thank you for your sermon and all the things that your Lord Jesus has done for us. We ask you to look over Brother Doug as he is on his fellowship, and ask you to look over all those people traveling and all those that are homebound and can't make it. Look after Sister Stacy and those that are sick. You know, there's so many people that need your help, dear Lord. You know, we have a large prayer list. And we look after everyone as they're traveling. And just thank you again for your son, Jesus, for what he gave for us so we could be by your side. Again, we thank you and thank your son, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.